Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, and praise you. Aren't you glad we're not religious?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Would you open your books to the book of Jude? Open those swords to the book of Jude. It's on the page right before Revelation. Praise you, Master. Praise you. Hallelujah. Book of Jude. Starting at verse 5, would you read it with me, please? Is everybody there? Hallelujah. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who do not believe. What's the word believe mean?
Follow.
To follow. There's a lot of people say, yeah, I believe, but they don't follow. That means they're really not a believer. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Man, we talk about, we're seeing judgments here, aren't we? Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Now he's talking about man. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. So what he's saying, listen, people speak in evil things they don't understand. Many individuals who don't understand the things of the Spirit most of the time speak evil of them. Because they don't understand. Because if they can't hear the voice of the Lord, they listen to the voice of the stranger. Amen. And the Lord says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Now everybody read with me verse 12. "These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom was reserved the blackness of darkness." There's something, this is very something, I mean, this is very special about something that's happening in here. On verse 12, he says something very powerful. He says, "These are spots in your love feasts." You know, so many times we read this over and it just bypass it. In your love feasts. In other words, these are spots in your love feasts. Well, we know that feasts are when people gather together, aren't they? Amen? He's talking about, in this arena, they were obedient to the seven feasts of the Lord, weren't they? Amen? He talked about them gathering together to have fellowship. He said, these are people that come into these arenas, they feast with you, but yet, they're not right. They have greedy hearts. They're not correct. They walk according to their own lusts and their own desires, but yet they feast with you and eat with you. He said, these are spots in your love feasts, because these feasts are a representation of God's love. In other words, they have not walked in the way of God's love or in the love of God. I want to share something with you. Spots in your love feasts or blemishes in your love. Is everybody with me? Let me share. God expresses his love through the celebration of these seven feasts. Let me explain what you the feasts are. Now, we've got a wonderful teaching on the feasts, and I'm not going to go into depth about this. The first feast is the feast of Passover. That's where Jesus died on the cross. Then there's the Feast of Unleavened. And that's when he descended to go into hell. Then there's the Feast of First Fruits, which is a representation of his resurrection. Then there is the Feast of Pentecost, where he poured out his Spirit. And everybody got baptized in the Holy Ghost, started ripping off in that funny language. Hallelujah. Then there's the Feast of Trumpets, in which the church will be removed from the earth. And judgment will begin. Then there's the Feast of Tabernacle, or the Tabernacle of the Lord. Feast of Atonement, I'm sorry. Feast of Atonement. That will be the next feast. So there's Feast of Trumpets, and there's a Feast of Atonement, where there'll be atonement, blood. That's why the Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, or Armageddon, will fill up with blood. Because there will be those who did not accept the blood of Christ. So atonement will have to be made for man through their own blood. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacle. So the number 7 means complete and perfect. These 7 feasts are from the Lord. They are called the Feasts of the Lord. And we have a wonderful teaching about the 7 Feasts of the Lord. But what I'm sharing with you in the book of Jude, he talks about these are spots in your love feast, because this is a celebration. Now, in these feasts, each feast represents an event or a circumstance, or it represents an action taken. It's actually a representation of God's love towards mankind. So when they get together and they celebrate these feasts, they're celebrating God's expressed love. Is everybody with me? Every time they get and celebrate these feasts, when you and I come together and we worship and praise the Lord, we're celebrating. When we have fellowship and break bread together, we're fellowshipping a love feast. Well, we are celebrating God's expressed love. That's what feasts are about. That's why when they went door to door and they broke bread and they prayed and fellowship, what were they doing? They were celebrating the greatest feast that was celebrated, which was a representation of Passover. In that Passover feast, what did the Lord do? He had his Last Supper, didn't he? Amen? Why? He was expressing his love. What did he say? I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you. He was expressing, he said, eat this of my bread representing my flesh. Drink this representing my blood. This is the greatest expression God could send to man. Was that God would come in the flesh and die for his own creation instead of removing his creation. He chose to die for his creation. That's why the word says, and God so loved the world, right? The greatest love is God expressing himself. So he expressed himself, and he expresses himself in these feasts. That's what I want to talk about tonight. It's called Love Feast. Love Feast. Remember, these feasts are man's celebration of God's expressed love. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. What is love? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible, the pages that you're turning, is the greatest love story ever written. That's the greatest love. It's still the number one seller. Isn't that wild? Now, people come against God and whatever, but still the Bible is still the number one seller on the selling list. Will be and always will be. Oh, hallelujah. The greatest story ever told, the greatest love story ever told is your Bible. Oh, hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love feasts. Oh, glory to God. Are you celebrating God's love? Amen. And you're in the love feast. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, what does it say? Love suffers long. Oh, hallelujah. Is this expressed? Is this an expression? Isn't suffering a part of an expression? Amen. This is God expressing His love. Love suffers long and is kind. Hello? Love does not what? Envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Woohoo! So you know it all, huh? Does not behave what? Rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. That's love. Doesn't talk about a feeling, does it? It's a choice. Everyone say love?
Love
is a choice.
Not a feeling.
Ooh, why? Because love is expressed, isn't it? People are waiting to feel before they can express. It doesn't work that way. Love is expressed. Hello? What is it? It's long-suffering. In verse 8, love what? Never fails. Hallelujah. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. When? When you and I are taken and brought home. Love is expressed. That's why, what's the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, and have no other gods associated in your life. Any idols or anything to that degree. God is expressing His love, has expressed His love. Love is expressed. Does everybody understand that? It is very, very important. Three areas the devil loves to break love in us is the love of God, the love of self, and the love of others. That's where he causes separation, doesn't he? Because if you're really not receiving God's love, and people have a hard time in accepting God's love, people have a hard time of giving love because they've been so bruised and wounded as children or so forth. But God's love, love is expressed. Does everybody understand that? Go to James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 1. Praise you, Master. Praise you, Master. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. Would you read it with me? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking what? Nothing. Now let me share something with you. It's really important to understand this. Your trials, all the things you're going through is an opportunity to God to make an exchange in your life so that His love can be perfected in you. It's an opportunity for God to perfect His love in you. How else? Listen, if you go to work on a vehicle or repair something, it doesn't get done unless either you do it or you pay somebody to do it, right? That's expressed action, isn't it? If you've never gotten involved in something, you wouldn't learn, would you? Right? If you want to get clean, you go take a shower. You just don't go, oh Lord, clean me. So there's an expressed action, isn't there, in some sort of a way. In this trial, tribulations, circumstances in your life, God is always trying to express His love through you, but first he must impart it in you. It gets imparted in you when you're willing to give something up. If I was filled with water, for any more water to come in, I'd have to drain some water out of this. Amen? So if just like your oil, right? It gets nasty. Needs an oil change or a new oil filter. Well, you can't overflow the oil, can you, when you put it in your engine? You must drain the old oil out and put new. God does that with me and you through circumstances in our life by expressing and imparting his love in us that we may express his love through us. Is everybody with me? So no matter what you're going through, count it all joy. Why? Because it's God imparting his love in you. That exchange is being manifested. Celebrate it. Hallelujah. It don't feel good. Too bad. Praise God anyways. It's not about a feeling. Well, you know, I got burned on this. I got ripped on this. I'm waiting for my ways. God didn't answer the prayer here. What about my husband? What about my wife? Praise God. Celebrate that feast.
Amen.
Celebrate that love feast. It's not about you who's going to change anything anyways. It's him. See, the problem is we're still fighting for position. Hello? We're still fighting for position. That means we want control. And God is saying no, because love is total surrender, total commitment, total trust. Oh, hallelujah. Does everybody get it? It's important that we understand God's love. Why? Because we want to walk in that love feast. That love feast is nothing but a celebration of the love of God. And how are you going to know it unless you get in it? Let me share something with you. We can teach upon love, God's love. We can train our children up on how to love, but you know what? They'll never know it until they experience it. What they'll do is imitate until they experience it themselves. Then they're able to walk. And when they're able to walk on their own, why? Because now they carry the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. Celebrate his love. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul writes to the church, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do these exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Works in us. What power? The power of his love. It's expressed by his Spirit. His love surpasses our power to understand. Is everybody with me? You and I cannot totally comprehend the love of God. But if you've ever had an encounter with the Lord, you can get a glimpse of it. Even when you get filled with the Spirit of the Lord, you get a glimpse of it. But his glorious, awesome love towards me and you, we can't comprehend it. But we can experience it, can't we? How do we experience this? Through his expressions, through our trials and tribulations, through our waiting patiently, through our Listen, there isn't anybody here or anywhere that trusts God 100%. We struggle with it. Does everybody understand that? We have to. Your flesh cannot trust God, and it never will. That's why you must beat it down. That's why if you stay filled with the Spirit, your flesh is crucified, and you're able to trust God. How many times does the devil come to you? Man, don't you think you should do this? Don't you think? I mean, he comes and pushes you. Push, push, push. The devil pushes, the Spirit leads. When, Lord, when? Die. What's he doing? He's expressing his love. It says love is what? Long-suffering. He's allowing you to experience his love in your circumstances. That it may be imparted in you that you can express his love with someone else. Hello? Why? Because the world is looking for love. They're trying to find a way home. The path home is love. The path is love. That is the pathway. Love. Love is a choice. Love is expressed. It's not about a feeling. Too many people are waiting for the feeling. They get offended or whatever because they're wanting a feeling. Express God's love. What you sow is what you reap. Amen? Go love somebody. How do you love somebody? You express God's character. You express. What do you do? Love gives. It's not always looking. Love is not concerned what receiving from an individual. The problem with people is they have a hard time accepting that they're loved. They have a real hard time accepting that they're loved. That's why they go do. Listen, people don't become drug addicts just to become drug addicts, alcoholics. People don't become workaholics. People who get angry and jealousy and all these other things that are involved in the carnal world have a hard time accepting love. Or they're looking for love in the wrong places. Because it's only temporary love. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We have a hard time. His love surpasses all. You can't understand the love of God. But you can accept it. And when you accept it, your trials and tribulations, your wants and your needs, your downfalls, your offenses, your abandonment, your rejections, all of these can have an opportunity to express God's love because He'll never reject you, nor forsake you, nor leave you. You're waiting patiently, even your sicknesses and disease can still be expressed through the love of God. Hello? Through the loss of loved ones, death of others. They're not dead, they just started a new life. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. His love surpasses our power to understand. We can't comprehend it. We can only grab glimpses of it. We have to come to a place where we can accept it. The world cannot receive His love. The carnal man cannot receive His love. That's why they go from one place to another. That's why there's fornication. That's why there's, you name it. Look at the world. They cannot receive His love. His love is expressed through His Spirit. Does everybody understand that? That's why believers, you go up to an unbeliever, and say, God loves you. Man, it upsets them. Jesus loves you. Yeah, I'll kick your butt, man. You better be careful about who you tell Jesus loves you. That's why you must be led by the Spirit. Because the devil will use you to push you to say, man, you better tell everybody Jesus loves you. And you'd be pushing them away from the Lord instead of drawing them. Look, they're not looking for words. They're looking for expressions. They're looking for expressions. Hello? What are they looking for? Look at the Good Samaritan, right? Remember the story about the Good Samaritan that walked by? Even the priests. Or the Pharisees and Sadducees walked by this dude that was a Samaritan. And Jews were not to associate with them. Everybody walked by him. I think he was a Samaritan. Yeah. Or he was the good Samaritan that saved him, right. I don't know who was down there. Some dude. But he was hurt. He got robbed. He got beat up, left aside to die. The Jew walked by him, and the Samaritan picked him up. But come on, man. Threw him on his donkey. Brought him to a hotel. Paid the innkeeper. Bound him up, healed him up. Made him feel comfortable. What did he do? He expressed God's love, didn't he? Love is expressed. Love is expressed. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 11, and he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in what? Love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its part. Say, every part does its part. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in what? In love. Love is work. Hello? Love doesn't come home sitting in front of the TV. Love is work. Amen? Why? Because expression is work. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Why? Love is what? Work. Listen. Marriages are work. Woohoo! Full-time ministry. That's a sixfold of ministry. Because you got to raise the dead occasionally. Hallelujah. Marriage is work. Love is work. Because the devil just loves the seven. Listen, people get the, you know, even when they come to the Lord, that honeymoon experience seems to like settle down a little bit. You know, God doesn't answer his prayers as quickly as he used to. You know, like when a baby is there and the mother, the father changed the diaper. Two wimps, wah, wah, and the boom, bottles in the mouth. Right there. Right there, quickly. You know? Because the child can't walk yet. God does that with us when we first become believers. Then he begins to say, okay, it's time to change your own shorts. Now it's time to walk. Now it's time to walk by faith. See, he expresses himself extremely wonderfully in this wonderful love in the beginning of our walk. See, he's done his impartation now. Is everybody with me? Then we begin to walk in. What are we doing? We're actually expressing God's love in our walk. Jesus was the manifestation of God's love. Tangible, talkable, seeable. You could actually see God's love. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. You can actually see his love. His love radiated from him. People wanted to get close to him because of his love. Remember, the world is looking for love. You can't find love in a bottle or in a baggie. You can't find love in the hotel room. You can't find love in the cash box. You can only find it in Him, because you and I were created out of love. Is everybody with me? So everyone else have a part to do in the body of Christ to continue to express God's character or God's love. You know, that is His nature. Amen? God is love. Love is a choice. Love is work. Love suffers. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love. Love isn't jealous. Love denies self. Love is unselfish. Love is pure. Love is willing to give and not be concerned of what you get back. Love is willing to do with no expectations, but to give. There's a difference in love. The Word tells us that, hey, even though I pray in tongues and I do all kinds of other stuff and I give to the poor, but if I have no love, I'm nothing. Why? Because then it's not expressed in God's character. What does the Word say? One thing the Lord doesn't like is an uncheerful giver, but what pleases Him is a cheerful giver. Even when it's tithing or whatever. People are still grumbling, man, I got to tithe this week. Too bad. May the Lord open your heart so that you become a cheerful giver. Because that's a part of God's expression. See, now you're expressing. I'm going to back up a little bit. Now you have an opportunity to express to God how much you love Him. Not by what you feel like. When we get together in the anointing services, we dance and praise God and have a good time. In the beginning, it's not because you feel like it. The devil's got you going, oh man, I'm tired, I worked all day, I did this, I did that, you come in there with a head like this of all of a list from one ear to the other of excuses why you shouldn't be there. Amen? That's nothing but darkness. And as the music starts playing, you make that right foot go. Then you make that left foot go. You tell yourself, get those hands up. Come on, start singing. And next thing you know, you start breaking the yoke because the anointing starts coming. And now you begin to sow in the Spirit and you begin to reap. But see, at first you didn't feel like it. But halfway through the service, you're like, yeah! Why? See, in the beginning, you began to express God's love. It wasn't about a feeling, though. So you got an opportunity to sow and express into God, and He got to express Himself in you. Does everybody understand? In everything you and I do, everything must be expressed. One of the purposes and motives behind everything we do must be an expression of His love. Why am I doing what I'm doing? People grumble and complain at their jobs because they didn't get a raise yet. Well, then you're laboring unto yourself and not unto the Lord. But I got bills to pay. Well, you should have tithed. You wouldn't have these bills today. Hello? So and what? Read. Some of us who just come out and becoming new believers are still trying to catch up on some things. I'm telling you, don't get in the ketchup. Get in the mustard. Because your faith the size of a mustard seed will move a mountain, won't it? Amen? Oh, that's all you need. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. But let me even, isn't faith expressed? Faith is expression of God's love. You walk in faith, why? Because you are accepting what He said. Why? Because you're expressing His love. The Word says faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. In other words, it's tangible. You can see faith. When Peter and Paul and those guys were hanging out, what did he say? He looked across the place and he said, hey, look it. I can see that you have faith to what? Be healed. Hello? Faith. Oh, hallelujah. Love is work. Must be able to give love and accept it. Because love is expressed. We should be celebrating the love of God all the time. You and I should be in that love feast constantly. It says, in His presence is fullness of joy, right? And the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. Oh, in His presence is love. Love, God expresses His love through us and to us through our circumstances and trials and tribulations, through our ups, our downs, through our hurts and abandon. Even the wrath of God is going to be expressed through His love. Why? The Word says He chastens those He what? Loves. So many times the devil will say, oh man, the Lord doesn't love you. Or you wouldn't feel the way you feel. The Lord doesn't love you. Or He wouldn't have taken your family away. The Lord doesn't... Actually, the devil's the one that took your family away. Actually, we allowed it to happen because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hello? But we can't go into the arena of why. Because you know it doesn't matter. What's what is then? It's over with. We are walking with the God of now. Right now, He's able to do anything. And He's able to catch up. You don't have to. When you make a mistake, it's His problem, not yours. Does everybody understand that? This is where there's relationship. Man, I remember one day I was repentant. I said, Lord, I think I blew it. I think I missed you. I'm really sorry. I should have done this and I should have done that. And He said, settle down, guy. He said, your mistakes are my problems now, not yours. I said, that's my dad. He said, that's my son. See, you've got to come to an arena where you're willing to accept His love. Unconditional. No matter what. It doesn't matter about anything else. Listen, when you finally shed this flesh, you're getting right into His presence. And nothing is going to even matter. You're not even going to remember most of the stuff. You're not going to have no hurt, no pain, no nothing. You're not going to feel sorry for anyone. Hello? When I was in the Lord's glory, I didn't give a hoot about my wife, kids, or nothing. I could have cared less. I didn't even have an intention or concern about anybody. It was all wiped away when I was in His glory, taken to the other side. There wasn't a care about anything. I was still trying to not even comprehend. You know, you can't even comprehend it. I was ripped. It was like I was pieces of molecules. With love just ripped through me. And I realized that's where I came from and that's where I belong. See, we're trying to find our way home. And the path is love. Everybody all right? In Deuteronomy chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. Celebrate. Dance to your King. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy. Oh, hallelujah. Love feast. You know, when God chastens you, don't take it personal. You know what I'm saying? Don't take it personal. Like, you know, we have a tendency to think that God, I remember seeing a statue of Abraham Lincoln in this big concrete chair, you know, with this. It always reminded me of God when I was a kid, you know? Because, you know, that's what I was told was, you bad thing, you! You know, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, I was a little heathen, even though the Ten Commandments I knew. Couldn't obey them. But there was a tendency that you and I were brought up in an arena that they might have spoke about God's love, but they expressed God's judgment. You know what I'm saying? They might have spoke about God's love, but they expressed more of God's judgment than expressed more of His love. And we accepted more of the expression instead of what was being spoke. Because they couldn't live that way anyways. Without the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can't live the life of Christ. You just can't. We become religious. And then we get really upset because we can't obey the word. And we think God doesn't love us because we can't obey. Does everybody understand? And this is where the devil's love stepping right in. Amen? He loves stepping right in and saying, man, you can't please God. But the word says that we're already perfected in Him. If we can't please Him, then there wouldn't be anybody left. What pleases Him is who we are. Because He looks at me and you of what He's done to fulfill where it's on you, it is finished. He's looking at the finished product. Me and you as His children. He's not looking at our mistakes. Our mistakes are opportunities for Him to express His love. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And Deuteronomy in chapter 10 and verse somewhere. Verse 19. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ooh. Now listen. Here's where love is impartial. Love is impartial. You know, God says, I don't judge by an appearance of a man, the skin of a man, the character of the man. I judge by his heart. Of course, the heart is the character of the spirit. Love is impartial. It doesn't matter whether somebody has money or doesn't have money. And of course, you want to be wise. You know? I mean, you see a lot of individuals out there with signs, either help wanted or, you know, a veteran or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And they're begging for money. Or some of them are asking for a job or whatever. And so many times I'm compelled to want to help them. And I'm either going to be led or pushed. If I'm pushed, I know it's not dead. If I'm led, I know it's dead. In fact, one time Mom and I were driving, and the Lord said to me that morning, He says, I want you to buy a newspaper. No, I don't buy newspapers because I could give a hoot. And I thought that was very strange. I bought a newspaper. Now, Mom and I were going somewhere. And we were driving, and there was this guy. We passed by. I think we passed by him the first time on the way going to this place. And he was in the middle of the road and on this busy street and running out to cars. I figured, well, and then there was a sign there. I didn't get to see the sign. So on the way back, we were getting closer and closer, and we were passing the same place. And I thought, you know, and the Lord said, I want you to give this man the newspaper. I thought, the newspaper? He said, I want you to give him the help wanted ads. I thought, help wanted ads? He says, yes. I said, all right. So the guy came up to the car. I rolled down the window. I gave him a help wanted ads. And I said, God bless you. He wasn't very happy. So we left, and Mama like looked at me and said, what did you just do? I said, well, I'm just being obedient to the Lord. She said, he had a sign out there, it's cancer of this, all kinds of stuff. This well, I never saw the sign. I was blinded from the sign, totally blinded from the sign, but only the Lord knows what's going on there. Amen? Then there was a time I brought an individual home. And so forth. But you have to be led. See, because the devil knows, he knows that you and I have the love of God in us. And he tries to trick it. He tries to con us. But without being filled with the Spirit and knowing the voice of the Lord, people get deceived. Do you know what happens then? Let me express this to you. What he does, he likes to take the love of God that you have and scar it. If he can wound that or scar it, what he does then, and he plants that corruptible seed saying, God doesn't love you, or he wouldn't allow this to happen to you. Amen? Why did this happen to me? Well, God, why didn't you... You know, I was angry with God when I was a drug addict because I used to cry out for help. But of course, he probably sent me so much help, but I was too blinded. Finally, I had to get to a point and say, okay, I'll do whatever it takes. Then he said, you know, you want to get off of drugs and alcohol, you want a whole new life. I realized, I need a whole new life. Then he changed my life. See, I was going to the circumstance. I was going to what was affecting. I need to get off of drugs and alcohol. He said, no, you don't. You need a whole new life. I said, wow, I need a new life. But see, in the beginning of that arena, I was angry with God. But then I came to the understanding that it wasn't God's fault, it was all mine. When I stopped blaming God for everything, when it was my fault, because he gave me the power to choose, and God will never overrule your will. Never. He will never overrule your will. Never. Oh, Lord, let your will be done. Well, he will. If you let his will be done. Hello? But he will not overrule your will. He just doesn't do that. Because he's God, and he didn't create robots. He created an expression of himself who walks in free will. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So God's love is impartial. Go to Romans 12. What's God trying to do? He's trying to perfect his love in us. You mean that every circumstance of my life, everything God was trying to express his love to me? Yes. Everything. Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Is everybody there? Glory to God. In verse 9. Would you read it with me? Let love be without what? Hypocrisy. Something very important. It says, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. This is very important. Until you hate evil, the love of God is not perfecting in you. It's one or the other. You must hate evil. Hating evil is an expression of God's love because God hates evil. Doesn't mean you hate the person. See, too many people pet evil. They comfort evil. They justify evil. When you and I are to hate evil. When you hate evil, God's love is expressed. Does everybody understand it? It's really important. In fact, you can tell someone that God's love is expressed when they express the hatred for evil. Amen? We hate abortions. I hate murder. I can't stand the circumstance of these demons who are using people to abduct children. I hate it. I pray against them every day. I hate it. I hate people's usage when they use God. That's evil. Does everybody understand that? That's evil. We are to hate evil, but not the person. Amen? But if the person wants to associate with evil, let them go. But I won't associate with the person that loves evil. We're to hate evil. Hating evil is expressing the love of God. Amen? Go to John 13. So if God is trying to express His love in us through our circumstances and trials and so forth, obviously He's trying to manifest His character in us, isn't He? Amen. That's why we must always go to the arena that says, count it all joy. Amen. Count it all joy. Why are you celebrating His love? Amen. Just walking that love feast. Celebrate it. In John chapter 13, in verse 35, somewhere around there. In verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Wow. God's expression of love. People see that you are His disciples. You know, so many times people will say, well, man, I just don't know what to do with this. And you know, I tell them, kill them with love. Kill that person with love, man. Kill them. Hallelujah. They won't know what to do. Because there are so many times waiting for retaliation, waiting for chastisement, waiting for accusation, waiting for anger. Man, kill them with love. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But hate the evil. Here we see that unselfishness expresses God's love. Unselfishness. Go to John 15. In verse 13 it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. God expresses His love. Unselfishness. Three types of love. Impulsive love. Impulsive. Which is more related to feeling? Impulsive love. The second was a love representation of high regard or high esteem. And then the third one is Spirit-inspired love, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which is unconditional love. It's a love that has nothing to do with somebody else's character or circumstances or happenings towards you. It's unconditional. Just like God's unconditional love towards us. Though we are sinners, God still sent His only beloved Son to die for me and you. That's inspired by the Spirit love. Okay, the first love is impulsive, which is feeling. Second one is high regard or esteem, high esteem. And the third one is Spirit-inspired love, which is unconditional. It doesn't matter. Unconditional. In John 13, chapter 1, verse 1. In John 13, verse 1. Is everybody all right? Why are we talking about this tonight? Because everybody's being attacked in one way or another and trying to disqualify the love of God in you. Does everybody understand that? One way or another. That's an enemy's plan right now. The Spirit tells us things to come. Hello? He always prepares us for the things to come or things that are happening right now. The Word says He always makes a way of escape for us. How can God allow me to be sick this long? He certainly can't love me. That's a lie from hell. He's expressing His love through you. Why? Long-suffering. See, we got to come out of the arena of the natural and get in the arena of the Spirit. John 13. And verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Let me tell you something. God's love, this love, is unchangeable. It is unchangeable. Unchangeable. The expression of His love must be unchangeable in us. Okay, you've been offended, you've been hurt. No one says that you won't be offended. It's what you do with it. No one says you won't be rejected. It's what you do with it. Are you going to allow it to alter the course of your life? Or are you going to allow the love of God to alter the course of your life? Amen? This is where you have the power to choose. Are you going to be about... Listen, so many people have self, such high esteem or high expectations, excuse me. High expectations. The devil loves to put high expectations in us. Some of them are unrealistic or intangible, unreachable expectations. Now, when we don't reach them, we have big downfalls. Amen? You can't allow those things. That's why the Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. He's the God of now. Walk with Him now in the way He is. Don't worry about tomorrow. It doesn't matter. I'm planning for a future. Well, let me tell you something. My future's already been planned. You can plan for your own. My future's been planned by Him, not by me. Hello? That's why He must establish your steps as you hand over His ways. Lord, hand over your ways to Him and He'll establish your steps. Give Him your works and your projects and He'll establish your thoughts. Hello? But you got to do something. You've got to give them to Him. You got to do your part. See, when you give to God, you're denying yourself. Denying yourself is an expression of love. You know, when people come for counsel and so forth, and the Holy Spirit expresses certain things. He's always expressing what's God showing you. What do you mean? It's this and this and this. No, what's God showing you about you? These circumstances are to expose you. Right? Why? Because God's trying to get something from you to express His love in you. So that others will know. His unconditional love. His unchangeable love. Your love can't change. It's no longer your love, it's His love expressed through you. So we celebrate the Feast of Love. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. John 14. In verse 15, would you read this with me, please? He says what? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now this is very powerful. There's an arena where you and I constantly are walking in the love of God. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means obedience. Your obedience is expressing God's love. submit to God and resist the devil. Because if you're able to submit to God and obey God, you're able to resist the ploy of the enemy that's trying to break the love of God between you and him. It's like a wheel that's constantly turning. It must be oiled. And the gears need lubricated. Without that oil in it, that wheel is not going to turn smoothly. Is everybody with me? It's the oil that oils that wheel is known as obedience. That's God's love. That oil is the love of God that keeps you going smooth. If that oil is dried up, if that oil is leaking out, if that oil has been wounded or scarred, it begins to cause that wheel to run and cause friction. Doesn't it? It's our responsibility to keep ourselves lubricated with the love of God. It's our responsibility to keep ourselves lubricated with the love of God so that things go smoothly. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get, it's not going to be a bumpy road. The Word tells us that the path of the righteous is narrow and difficult. But it's going to be more of a smoother road. It's going to be a smooth drive. You know, it'll be on a bumpy road. Is everybody with me? It's our responsibility to oil ourselves with the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. In Romans 8, 35. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Love impartation. Love revelation and a preparation for the deception that the powers of darkness are trying to impart in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 8. I mean, you know, doesn't the devil love to get everybody to fight each other? That's his job. In Romans chapter 8. Praise God. In verse 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. Hallelujah. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who what? Loved us. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from his love. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to move a little bit quicker because we're running out of time. I got a few more scriptures I got to get in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Wow. Compels us. His compels us. You know, one of the things that happens is we begin, his love restrains us from doing ungodly things. Puts us in a place of waiting. He puts us in a position to wait. Why? Because that is the greatest place for him to express his love towards us. Listen, after you've waited for a while, you've died for a while, or you're dying for a while, all of a sudden something happens. It's like, wow. I didn't know he loved me so much. I didn't know it. Why? Because God expresses his love through circumstances. Sometimes you just got to wait. And you got to give him a break. You have to allow God to express himself to you. Too many people are running and running this and doing that and not allowing God to express his love towards them. That's why it says, wait on the Lord. Be still and wait. God will bring it to you. He'll bring it to you. Things will begin to follow you as you begin to follow the Lord. God will bring it to you. Why? Because as you express his love, his love draws. His love draws. His presence draws. People wanted to touch his garments because he was expressing his love. He healed. He delivered. What was he doing? He was expressing the love. Jesus was the expression of God's love. Compassion and care. Are we not supposed to do the same? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. But above all these things, put on what?
Love.
Love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Put on love. Make that choice. In Jude verse 20. Hallelujah. Jude verse 20 and 21. Is everybody there? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Ooh, hallelujah. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Well, expressing God's love. And I want to close at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Hallelujah. In verse 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he received from us. Because why? He's not expressing the love of Christ. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Amen? How you should follow us. Remember, everything you're going through is just the Lord trying to express his love through you. Removing those things of the flesh, of the carnal. As you wait on the Lord, believe me, he is refining you. He is preparing you for a good work that we may be known as vessels of honors. And that others may know that we are disciples of Christ by the expression of his love. Remember, love is an expression, not a feeling. Amen? Love is a choice. Not that we don't get a sense of God's presence. We do. Why? Because there's peace, joy, and righteousness, isn't there? Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would compel us to search the riches of your love. That you would grant us the understanding and the acceptance and revelation that your love is unconditional, unchanging, unwavering. And that your love for us is overwhelming. That you are faithful in your love, in your promises. For you desire no one to perish. And that everyone is looking for you. Lord, in this room tonight, let your love abound. That others will see you in us. Draw them unto you, Lord, as you draw them unto us. That your love will be expressed through us to them. And that that chain reaction would continue till the whole world is saved and no soul is lost. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.